Turn with me again this morning to Galatians chapter 5, and beginning in verse 22, let's hear the word of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning as we have an opportunity once again to open your holy word. I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And thank you for it. Amen. This is really a jumping off place for us this morning. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this scripture, but got to start somewhere, right? You're the kind of person that watches TV or reads newspapers, listens to the radio, whatever, particularly to be caught up on current events. You want to know what's going on, kind of thing. What's happening in the world of politics or the world of sports or entertainment or even the world of religion. And you can hear so much stuff there, and it's very easy to obtain a great deal of information. But you can also hear a lot of noise. A lot of the stuff that goes on out there is just makes your eardrums vibrate, and that's about it. You know, it's nothing more. There's obviously nothing wrong with using those mediums to acquire information. Yeah, they're available to us. There's not a problem with using that. What is of a concern, though, is what do you do with the information after you get it? You know, the truth of the matter is that a lot of people, even good, godly Christian people, well, listen to the radio, watch their television, read their newspaper, and they'll develop anxiety. They start to get all worked up about what it is they hear. You know, what is the Department of Homeland Security going to do with 2 billion bullets and 2,700 armored assault vehicles? Well, you know, I'm thinking it's they're probably just getting ready to go on a pheasant hunt some weekend. Kind of stuff, you know, gets people worked up. You know, other people who have a different perspective on things might be really concerned of whether or not the Browns are going to make a good draft pick. Will Audie Murphy win an Oscar? Will the next Pope be a liberal? Depending on your personality, you know, your interests in these categories, you know, and your reactions to them, it's going to vary. You know, you might have bigger concerns in one area than another, and whatever kind of a thing. But the important part is that you don't get yourself all worked up about it, about any of this stuff. Paul said that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And you know, this word, peace, we go to define some things. We go to see, try and pick up definitions. And this word, peace, is just one of those words that people just assume you know what it is you're talking about. Peace means peace. You know, if you go and you pull up the Greek word in this situation, it's irane, it means peace. The implication that comes with the word, though, is one of quietness. It's one of rest. It's the Holy Spirit working in us not to be overwhelmed with anxiety, but to be at rest and have that evident in our lives. If we go back to Eden, if it were, if you could, and we can imagine a time on this earth that was very restful. You know, Adam did his work, and he communed with God. And I, for the life of me, can't think of a better life. To go and do what you have to do and be able to day in and day out commune, to fellowship with the Almighty. What enjoyment, what rest can you find there? Of course, it didn't last. In a moment's time, man turned from perfect peace to war with God and everything that goes with it. It was that fast. He didn't have to break God's law and then think about it for a while. It was that fast. And now today, turmoil, it seems to be the order of the day. Whether it's on a national or an international level, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your family, or maybe it's on a level that prevents you from sleeping. Maybe that turmoil is in your own conscience. Isaiah wrote in the 57th chapter, 21st verse, it says, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." There's no peace for the wicked. If you are lacking peace, whatever you do, don't ask yourself. Ask God. Am I wicked? Am I wicked? Is the way I live in total opposition to the way you've designed for me? It's at that point when we take the sword of the Word of God and we say, God, use that sword and open me up and expose me to the light. Show me my wickedness because I desire your peace. You confess your sins to Him. And you make peace with Him. And that's the first thing that you do. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Peace with God is going to affect every area of your life. And the scripture says he will keep you in that peace if your mind is stayed, is leaning on him, is resting on him. When Isaiah wrote that passage, that's one of those verses that we talk about that demands our special attention. Remember, we talked just a few weeks ago about the importance of repetition in the scriptures. And what Isaiah wrote in that verse is not that you will keep him in perfect peace, but that you will keep him in peace. The word is used doubly. It's shalom, shalom. It's emphasized that this is an important state of mind that God promises to keep us in. For the saint whose rest is in God, peace is certain. Calvin said that it is a fixed and unchangeable decree of God that all who hope in him shall enjoy eternal peace. Now, does that mean we won't have moments of distress? And as long as we live in this flesh and blood body, we're going to be in a battle. We are going to contend. This old nature that's there is going to yell at us. And there will be times when we don't feel peaceful. It's a given. But our peace with God is not a peace that's based on our feelings, but it's a peace that is based on the finished work of Jesus. Our confidence is there. Our peace comes from there. You see, everything in our life revolves around God, revolves around Christ. Everything comes back to that. Do we have no love? It's because we don't have a proper love with God. If we have no joy, it's because our joy is not connected properly with God. And if we have no peace, it's because we have no peace with God. If our hearts are set right, if we are experiencing, if we are actually exhibiting this fruit of the Spirit of peace, you know what? We're not going to go to pieces when we hear that our government is. We're not going to get all shook up when we find that someone that we love dearly has for a moment walked away from the faith. We'll express concern. We'll certainly go to God in prayer, but it's not going to disturb our personal peace. Because that's between us and God. Jesus reconciles us to the Father. Our total trust is in Him. That's how we obtain the peace. And we have moments, you know, we do. We have these moments where we get a little befuddled. We have times where I don't feel peaceful. So what do you do? If our minds are to be stayed on God, and that means to lean on God, if our minds lean on God, if our whole being rests upon the foundation of the Almighty, we are supported by Him, and the activity of our lives should reflect that. If we're disturbed in our minds, there's going to be an expression of that in our action. So what can we do when our personal peace is disturbed? What can we do when these times are disrupted? Well, immediately and with great haste, you run to God. Don't sit back and think about how you can make it better. You go to God because He makes it better. He knows how to work it. You go to His Word. Psalm 18. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and He heard my voice. You say, you know what? I don't feel like He heard me. I don't feel like my prayers got out of here. But see, it doesn't really matter how you feel. That's kind of blunt, but that's the truth. It doesn't matter how you feel. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He heard my voice. His Word says He heard me. Psalm 23 that we read this morning gives us a sense of peace, of the caring of God, that He leads us where He will lead us for our good and His glory. Psalm 25, to You, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. If my soul is broken, if my spirit is down, if my mind is troubled, lift it to the One who can fix it. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. There are certainly a lot of ways to get your heart broke these days. But the promise is the Lord is near to his people. And in Psalm 37:5, trust in the Lord and do good. Do something. Many times, peace is realized when we do the exact opposite of what we want to do. Or we might be naturally inclined to stomp our feet and hold our breath and all kinds of things. And if you want to obtain peace, you do the opposite. I've talked about it before. I said, sometimes what you have to do is sing. He said, man, I do not feel like singing. Don't you see what's going on around here? Don't you understand the oppression that's coming on? Don't you understand this and that? I don't feel like singing. Well, sing. When you glorify God, you'll experience his peace. Jesus said in John 14, he says, my peace I leave with you, not like the world leaves. What kind of peace do you expect to get out of the world? Certainly nothing that lasts. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Can't help it. Don't let it. Can't help it. Don't let it. It's the master saying, don't let it. Go to God in his word. And then listen to things that edify. Sometimes, again, we prefer to listen to things that compound our already dismal perspective. Sometimes you're feeling bad, you want to hear something that helps you feel worse. it's a freaky thing about human nature. Oh, you know what? The government bought all them bullets and they bought all them armored vehicles and doggone it. Don't you know, now they're setting up death camps. Well, so what? By the way, that last is, I have no idea. I'm just saying, you can hear anything. But these are things that should not be disturbing your peace. Don't listen to that stuff. Pick and choose carefully the teachers that you listen to on quote-unquote Christian radio. I told you before, I only listen to a couple. I listen to R.C. Sproul. And I listen to Alistair Begg, but not regularly. I hit and miss with Alistair. I will listen to some other guys just for educational purposes. Chuck Swindoll's a nice guy. He claims he's a four-point Calvinist. He doesn't believe in the limited atonement. And, of course, he's nuts on that case. But he's rich and famous and whatever. He's a nice fellow. So I'll listen to Chuck. And then I'll listen to... you ever drive by an accident and you know you shouldn't look, but you can't help yourself? Now... There's a fellow, he's a local guy. He's been around, for years. And the first time I met him was in the early days of the Northeast Ohio Roundtable, when we belonged to that. His name's Ernie Sanders. And Ernie is very vocal. He's militant when it comes to marching out in front of the abortion clinics. And I commend him for that. He does great work as far as that goes, but he's got horrendous theology. I mean, it's horrible. And it's like, why am I listening to this guy? I can't turn away, you know? Kind of a thing. And so, you know, I would not encourage you to listen to him for edification, because you're not going to get it there. You really ain't. Find yourself some music that edifies and that reinforces God's word. You know, you may be able to find music that makes you feel better, but does it feed your mind with the truth? You know, a guy's feeling low, and he clicks on the radio station and he hears, "I found my baby at the bottom of a bottle." You know, that's not going to go very far. That's not going to go very far to help you out at all. I like, now this is kind of a, what's the word, paradox, whatever kind of a thing. I like John Michael Talbot. I like his music. Let me specify, I like his music. Because John Michael Talbot, he was a guy that came to prominence during the Jesus movement. Him and his older brother Terry sang together for a little bit, and then they went their separate ways. And John has become very deeply Roman Catholic, and to the point where he's started his own monastic order, kind of a thing. I forget what he calls it, the Brothers and Sisters of Charity or something like that. He's got someplace wherever. You know, and he goes out and he does what he does. But the music that John has recorded over the years, some of it is very, very good. And it will, if you are troubled, you can put on some John Michael Talbot and you can get some rest. It's just the way he does. He's got an album out called "Come to the Quiet." You know, that's good. I really like the one he's got called "Hiding Place," and actually one of these days I may even own it, but instead I just gotta find it on the, you know, YouTube, whatever. Find music that edifies. Find music that helps reinforce the truth of God's word. Then, what you might do is actually ask someone to pray with you and not just for you. You say, I have this problem. I got this disturbance in my mind. Would you be willing to pray with me? Not just for me. Pray with me. This is what I'm praying. Would you join me in that? Would you pray with me in that? We're a body. That's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be doing that for one another. Ecclesiastes 4, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Everybody who wants to try and be a Lone Ranger is not going to last long. The truth of the matter is, the Lone Ranger even had Tonto and Silver. He didn't try and do it all by himself. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that indwells you as a Christian. It's His fruit that should be bearing witness in your life. And finally, Paul writes to the Philippians in the 4th chapter, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When you finally come to that moment where you say, "God, take me. I can't do this anymore. I have no peace. I'm shot. I'm a wreck." You give yourself to Him. The promise is that His peace, which passes understanding. We can't figure out why we have such rest. You know, when I read the testimonies of the martyrs, and you go back and you read some of these accounts, you just don't see them getting all shook up. Now, there's not a single one of them, I think, that enjoyed that opportunity. By the same token, there was not a single one of them that fought it. So this is where God has led me, and God's going to keep me in this. And account after account after account, the martyrs were led to their deaths in peace. They rested. That is a peace that passes understanding. Because their tormentors couldn't understand it. Their tormentors were certain that anything and everything that they could do to them would only contribute to their discomfort and their discouragement. And it just didn't happen. Didn't work out that way. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep you. That's his word. Cling to the truth of that word. And never forget, regardless of your situation, that he has a firm hold on you. It's not all about if you can hang on to his hand. You don't have to sweat it. He's got you. Let's pray.